What a beautiful opening that we have to this story. And it's the story of God just redeeming and welcoming those that he loves, his creation. God created you in his image, and he loves you so very much. And he wants you to know him personally tonight. There's a scripture which we shared, it might have been shared tonight, about the darkness that covered the land. And that there was a great light that was shining. That light was Jesus. And for many of us, we may have experienced that darkness within our lives. We may have experienced the darkness of grief, the darkness of loss, the darkness of depression. We may have experienced the darkness of betrayal and that sense of loss and the things that I just listed. But thank God, Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. And he shines his light into them darkest of places so that he may give us hope that we may come out the other side. And this evening, God is inviting you to be part of the greatest love story that's ever been told. He's inviting you to receive his love, this perfect love. We may have looked for it in many different places. Love, acceptance. We may have searched for it all out in the world. And for some of you, I've heard of my testimony of where God has brought me out from. I've experienced the darkest of dark places. Yet God's light shined upon my life. And I stand here before you renewed because of the light of Christ. Because in this love story that we get reminded of every year, every time around this year, many people come into church buildings that would never normally come into church buildings. We have people going out onto the street who wouldn't necessarily otherwise go out onto the streets to sing carols and to just show others the love of Christ, the love that they have received through song, through whatever it may be, through plays and nativity plays and all these wonderful things. So this love story, we're not just viewers, but we're being invited to be partakers in this love story that has run throughout the generations and indeed through eternity. At this time of year, we are reminded and we celebrate the birth of Jesus coming into this world. And to be honest, this is the beginning of the climax to God's love story. That God himself would come into this world so that we, his creation, may know him. God came in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ. And I believe that it's important that he came as his Son. That God would come into this world as his Son. Because no one knew the Father except the Son. Jesus would show us the perfect love of the Heavenly Father. And at the end of his life, when he bore the weight of sin and death upon himself and was resurrected back to life on that third day, he gave us an invitation to enter into the knowledge, the love our Heavenly Father gives. How can he speak to all of us? It's wonderful. How many different people we have here, different personalities from different backgrounds, you know, different areas, wherever we may have come from, we've been brought up differently. But God speaks to us, and he speaks to us all at the same time, yet we're also different. And we receive it, the words that he speaks differently too. Now, if God's love is perfect and it's for all of us, how did each one of us receive that love? And how did the baby who started life in a manger grow to express and demonstrate his love for all of humanity? In the life of Jesus, we see how he deeply loved and valued all people. He understood more than anyone that people receive love in different ways. And this is why I thought I'd share something a little bit different this evening, because it's about love, right? And there's this book which, you know, is on my shelf, which I pick up from time to time, and it's good for those that are married. It's also good for those that are in relationships, but it's also good for those who are single, because it gives us an insight into how we receive love. And this book is called Love Languages, 5 Love Languages. And in this book, it tells us that there are 5 ways that we experience and receive love. Now, some may receive it in a different way to others, right? So in this book, it says that there's these 5 ways. There's words of affirmation. There's quality time. Receiving of gifts, which Pastor Lloyd makes known quite often that this is his love language that speaks to him most, is the receiving of gifts. Acts of service is another one. Physical touch is another one. We respond to these in different ways. And as Jesus came into this world for all people, he needs to speak to all people in a way that they understand. So let's see in the life of Jesus how he expressed his love to you in a way that you receive it most. Words of affirmation. Jesus affirmed those around him. Firstly, Jesus affirmed himself, right? He affirmed the Father, and he affirmed God's plan. The great commandment says this, that to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these 2. In this great commandments, what we see is Jesus affirming God's plan, affirming how we are to love God. How we are to show our love towards him. We're to show our love toward God and his plans with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. But here's a key thing here for this word of affirmation. We must learn to love ourselves. Now, for those that receive this love by affirming words, it's important that you speak over yourself. That we declare God's word over ourselves, that we can hear and receive that. And if you're around people, you need to allow others to speak life over you. Too many in this world speak death over each other. No good, you're no good, you'll never amount to nothing. These type of things. But actually, we need to be speaking love and speaking life over people. We need to receive it first. We need to receive it from God first, because the truth is this, that we cannot love our neighbour unless we love ourselves. We cannot give what we haven't got. So we must come to this place where we're affirming of ourselves in Christ, and then we can affirm others. Jesus would often affirm himself and tell people who he was. I'm the Son of Man, and others. Jesus would then affirm his disciples. And the beautiful thing about speaking, what he would do, is he would begin to speak into their lives and call things out of them. That he would draw out the potential within them. He saw it in Peter, for example. He saw Peter was a bit rough around the edges, right? But he saw that Peter was a leader, and he began to speak to Peter and draw that potential out of him. And this is one of the great demonstrations of love, is that we're looking into someone and we're drawing the good out of them. They may not know it's there, or they're so blinded by their own patterns of thinking, it takes someone else to speak into them and speak over them in order for that to be brought out. Because the words of affirmation, they build people up. And that's what Christ was doing with his disciples. In fact, we see God doing this throughout the Bible, through to many different people, through many of the prophets and those great leaders that he would see them, and that he could see what was in them when they couldn't see anything themselves. So isn't this a great demonstration of love? Empowering others so that they may become the best version of themselves. So if you receive love through words of affirmation, God wants to speak to you. We must speak out and declare the word of God over ourselves. The second one is quality time. Spending quality time, just them special moments in solitude or just them times of enjoyment. Not during the busyness of everything else that's going on, but actually taking and bringing yourself away from things in order to just spend time in that presence of someone, or in this case, with God. Jesus expressed and learned quality time. We see this through the scriptures. In Luke 5:16, it says that Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Jesus knew the importance of spending time with his Father. He often withdrew to a quiet place to be alone. And it was in this place that he could hear what his dad was saying to him. It was here that Jesus received the love of his Father. It was here that he would receive refreshment, renewal, and encounter in his presence. And this is available for us too. We just need to place the same importance of quality time with our Father as Jesus. And see, Jesus showed us this picture of first spending time with God, and then from that place of that overflow, it would go to them around him. Because as he spent time in his Father's presence, the outward working effect of that was that he spent quality time with those around him. He spent quality time with tax collectors and sinners and sat down with them. Those that were rejected by the society norms, he sat down with them and spent quality time with them. We read there many times that he sat down with his disciples and he shared those precious moments with them. Moments of life that we all share, the celebrations of weddings and all these wonderful things. Just even as I said earlier, you know, we shared a meal together in our church, and it was great just being able to share that moment with others. Just spend that quality time together. They're the precious moments of life. Just being able to share that moment with others. And Jesus is our example, and he shows us why it's so important. Because he was making time for them. And he would do this in a group setting. Yes, he would make time for them as a group and sit down with them as a group. But also, he would make time for them as individuals. He would take them aside and just spend time with them alone. And he would do this regularly. He would dine with them regularly. And we can see this in the Last Supper too. The moment before the redemption plan would come into effect, that last night, he shared it around the dinner table with his disciples, with those that he loved most at that time, his disciples, those that were closest to him. He spent that quality time around the dinner table with them. For this next one, I'll put them together because we can see them working together. That is receiving of gifts and acts of sacrifice. In the life of Jesus, we often see that these two work together. Because Jesus gave many gifts when he was walking the earth. And indeed, he still continues to give wonderful gifts to us today. Jesus gave gifts and he gave his very life as a sacrifice. He knows that the giving and receiving of gifts is a powerful demonstration of love. Jesus only did what he saw his Father doing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that wonderful that the Father would send Jesus into this world as a gift to us, that we can call upon him and we can receive him in our hearts tonight? And not only that, the Father has given us more than that. He's given us his Spirit to live within us. When we receive Jesus into our hearts, we receive God's Spirit into our hearts as an assurance, as an inheritance of the things that are to come. And Holy Spirit is such a wonderful gift because He works such great things in our lives. Wow. The Father truly does love us deeply, and He will give us these wonderful things. The life of Christ was an example. And when we read and hear of the scriptures of His life, we see the acts of service that He gave. We see the miracles when He would pray for people, that He would meet with people in their darkest hour, the prostitutes, and He would sit with them, pray with them, and they would be restored. We would see those that have given up on life. Jesus would speak to them, and they would be restored and renewed. We see men who were desperate, broken, because of the depth of their mental health disorders. Yet Jesus would speak with them, pray with them, and their mental health would be restored. Praise the Lord. And isn't that such a wonderful gift, to be set free in your mental, in your thinking? This is often shared as, you know, I've spent time in prison, and in prison you can shut your eyes and pretend you're somewhere else. But when you're trapped in the prison of the mind, in that of depression, you cannot escape that. It's just constant. You can't shut your eyes and pretend you're somewhere else. So for those that know and who have battled the darkness of mental health, Jesus is the light of your salvation tonight. Jesus wants to bring you up out of that dark place. Amen. And open that prison door so that you may come out and know Him and know His healing and know His deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen. Many, we read, would receive deliverance. Some would receive physical healing, physical sustenance. Some would receive these prophetic words and that encouraging word spoken over their life. Now all these things, they're beautiful things. They're amazing things. But the greatest act of love that Jesus gave was that He laid down His life. He laid down His life so that all of mankind could receive salvation through Him. Because in John 15, 13, it says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's. Tonight, Jesus is calling you, come and meet me. Come and dine with me, my friend. I want you to know the love that I know, my friend. I want you to know the love of my Heavenly Father, my friend. And I want you to be part of my family. I want you to know and receive this eternal life that only I can bring. If you're dry in this place, I can bring you refreshment. The thing that Jesus asked for us is that we would turn from that which we know to be wrong. That we would turn from the sin in our lives. Sin is disobedience to God. And maybe that you may in this room, maybe there's something that you're becoming aware of in your heart. There's a darkness within your heart that you know that you're doing wrong. That's sin, and it's God highlighting it. He wants you to let go of that, and He wants you to experience and know the freedom that is found in Him. Because this is the reason why He came. This is the reason why He laid down His life, so that you may know Him. When you turn from that sin, and you see what Jesus done at the cross of Calvary, that His body was broken, beaten, that Jesus was humiliated as a man, and that He died a gruesome death upon that cross, so that He was rejected by all men, so that you may be accepted before your Father in heaven. Yet Jesus did this willingly. So tonight, as we look at the life of Jesus, let's remember His birth, let's remember His death, and let's remember His resurrection, Because Jesus didn't stay crucified, he didn't stay on the cross, he didn't stay dead. He was resurrected back to life on that third day. And this is the reason why he can do all these things that I've been speaking about tonight, because he is alive. That's the reason why we celebrate this time of year, his birth, because he is still alive. That's the reason why he can shine light into the darkest of places, because he is alive. And his light has never been extinguished. Yeah, hallelujah. And tonight he is offering you to be resurrected from that place of death, so that you may know eternal life in him. And with that, we come to the final way, the fifth way in which we can receive love, and that is physical touch. God wants us to encounter him. Christianity is different to every other religion because it starts from an experience. Each one of us that have come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord, each one of us have had an experience with him. There was a moment when we realized that Jesus was real, and these Christians, these Christians, which I used to thought were weirdos and mad types, these Christians are actually onto something. They've got something. They've had a revelation that Jesus is alive. So Jesus wants you to know him through physical touch tonight, so that you may experience his presence. Christianity is a place and religion of encounter. It's a religion of relationship. It goes beyond rules and regulations, and it comes into relationship. I said, I don't know how many of us here are married, right? But if we just had a marriage of rules and regulations, then you shall not do this and you shall not do that, but you must do this at this time, I don't think that marriage would last very long. Marriage is all about relationship. It's about speaking to one another and growing with one another. And this is what God is calling us, each one of us, into that relationship where we get to know him, where we get to know his likes and his dislikes, and we get to know just this wonderful, beautiful Savior. And this is the reason why Jesus came into this world, and we celebrate the baby in a manger, because it was the beginning of that relationship being built and a relationship being restored with our Creator. God came into this world so that we could have a relationship with him. And today he continues to invite us into that relationship. And again, relationships are felt and experienced. You see, God, he doesn't just touch our minds, even though he's given us these beautiful minds that we can challenge, that we can think, that we can, you know, maybe we can even investigate whether this is true or whether this is false. He's given us that ability, that freedom to do so. Free will. You can choose to accept it or reject it. It's completely down to you. God loves you enough to make your own decisions, right? But God, in this relationship, he wants to touch our hearts. Because once we have that touch in our hearts, we can't deny that. We can refute things in our minds, but once we've had Jesus touch our hearts, the love of God touch our hearts, that's something that we can't deny. And he always speaks to us in a way that we understand. And the reason why I say this is physical, because it can often be physical. There may be a warmth in our heart. There may just be an assurance that we receive that embrace from our loving Heavenly Father. So I'd like in this moment to pray for each one of us here, that God may physically touch our hearts, that we may encounter. So if we could just close our eyes for a moment, just so we don't get distracted. Just close our eyes so we don't get distracted by the things around us. So maybe you might just want to picture that baby in a manger. Maybe you might just want to picture, or maybe you just want to think of something that's been said this night. Just allow God to speak to you in a way. Holy Spirit, we just pray in this place that you would begin to shift and change the atmosphere here. Lord, we know that you are here with us. But Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just make yourself known in the heart of every person within this place. Lord, you know each one of them personally, and you love each one of them deeply. Lord, may you just bring that love into their hearts now. For those that have felt a sense of loss, for those who may be grieving, for those who feel abandoned, Lord, may you just touch their hearts with the overwhelming love that only comes from you. Holy Spirit, in this place now, may you just bring in the peace of the Lord Jesus to those who are anxious, to those who are desperate, to those who feel they have no way out. Lord, may you just bring an overwhelming peace to them. I pray, Lord, that for those who are sensitive to the things that are spiritual, Lord, you may speak to someone in a vision or a picture. Lord, just speak to those people now. Lord, may you just take them to a place where it's special to them. And may they be reminded that you were always with them. I pray, Lord, that each one of us here, they're just in their physical selves, just receive whatever. For some, it may be just, he may be healing you deeply. Just be open to what he's doing. And whilst everyone's eyes are closed, Jesus, this wonderful Jesus, this gift from God personally, and that you can enter into this beautiful relationship with him, that you can walk with him daily, know him deeply. Maybe you've known that the way that you're living is not right, and today you want to just make that right with God. So if that's you here tonight and you're willing to turn from those things and follow Jesus, would you be brave and just raise your hand for me so I can pray with you? If you want to walk with Jesus and lay them things down, this is an opportunity for you to open the door of your heart so that just open your heart and words. Just say, Father, forgive me of my sin. I choose to turn from it now. I choose to lay it all down to follow you. I receive your love. Everyone else now. Father, I thank you for the words that you have spoken tonight. Lord, I pray that as we have been going through this evening, that people in this place have been experiencing the love that you have for them. Because you love each one of us deeply, Lord. And as we come this Christmas, may we encounter and experience the greatest love that has ever been, the love of Jesus Christ, given to us by our Heavenly Father. We thank you, Jesus, that you love and care for us so much.